CliffCentral.com.
I want you for myself. Oh, look at you. Look at yourself. You've made it to Friday, and you made it to almost the end of January. Congratulations. All right, we're going to talk to a couple of interesting people in the next while. So we're going to throw in some news before we get to them. But we've basically got Weza Matumane coming in. We've got Nick Red, who we spoke to a while ago. He's a YouTuber. And he's, you know, we were talking about water restrictions.
Yeah.
So Nick has been doing the rounds in Cape Town. He's been asking people whether they're saving water. You must hear how dumb some people are. They don't. People are. You know what? If you run out of water, it's your own fault. That's all I'm saying. And then we're going to speak to a guy called Sibu, who's one of the guys who's busy organizing the Met this year. You know, it's sponsored, but they've got different sponsors. The whole thing's being put together. You forgot that the Met was this weekend, right?
Completely forgot.
Yeah.
Okay, but it's a big deal, and it's. Everybody's really interested because it has become a bit tired, and all of a sudden people are saying it's a bit rejuvenated, and I want to know what everyone's expecting. I used to go to these things, and I don't go much anymore, probably because I'm old and boring, but you know what? A lot of people like it.
But guys, why go when you can just see it on Top Billing?
That's true. You get the highlights in Top Billing. Like, you see Bonang's dress.
Exactly. You get close to all the people you can't get close to.
Yes.
Why waste money on flights and a dress?
Yeah.
You can just watch Top Billing.
Woo. Okay, good point. Well put. Let's get into some news, though. It is a Friday morning. We do need to know what's happening in the universe. So come on, Mubs. Help us out here.
Okay, so we don't have much of a dress code here at Cliff Central, right?
What are you talking about? I'm smart casual every day.
No,
you
don't.
Please, Ben. Ben was here in shorts the other day.
Yeah, I get dressed in the dark.
I mean, we're not like a law firm or an accounting firm where, you know, dress code is something that needs to be clarified and needs to be, you know, very black and white so that employees don't step outside of what's required of them.
Well, it helps everybody so no one feels out, you know. Sometimes it's like a school uniform. Like if everybody knows what the rules are, then nobody needs to arrive at work and feel awkward and uncomfortable.
Well, British women in the workplace are crying gender discrimination after an incident involving a worker at the accountancy firm PricewaterhouseCoopers.
Yeah.
There is now an inquiry into women's experiences at work. After this incident sparked, you know, outrage and reaction. This woman is a receptionist who was sent home without pay last year.
Wow.
Because she refused to wear heels that must be between 5 and 10 centimeters, according to their rules. Mm. Now, this woman argued that, men are not required to abide by rules. So why are the women being made to? The incident in London prompted a petition which gained more than 150,000 signatures, leading to the report from the Petitions Committee and Women and Equalities Committee. Seemingly, they've heard from hundreds of women who told them about the pain and long-term damage caused by wearing high heels for long periods in the workplace. This is something that doctors have been saying for the longest time, as well as from women who had been required to dye their hair blonde. So you also have to be a blonde when you work at this firm.
That's ridiculous.
They are told
crazy.
They are told to wear revealing outfits.
Don't give me the. I like the revealing outfits. I like the heels. But everyone has to be blonde?
Well,
What about the black women? Asians?
There are probably not a lot of black women working there or Asians.
Well, it's in London, right?
It's in London.
So London is one of the most cosmopolitan cities in the world. There are as many white people as there are black people. There are Indian people, Pakistani people, colored people, Chinese people, Arabian people. It's a very mixed up place. If London can't get this right, none of us have a hope in hell.
Now, I'm saying there are probably not a lot of women of color at this specific firm.
Oh.
Because they have such strict rules.
Oh.
The women also reported on how they are told to wear revealing outfits and to constantly reapply their makeup. Because God forbid you be seen in your natural state, woman. Get dolled up.
Yeah.
That's what you're good for.
That's so stupid.
So what do we make of, dress codes in the workplace? I mean, this is a clear example of the requirements being extreme and ludicrous. But you know, a dress code in the workplace, that's something that a lot of places of employment have been practicing for years, right?
I just think the people who design women's business attire, definitely not women. You know, you see those billboards on the highway. It's like this season, and it just looks like 1983.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Horrible.
I've never worked in an environment where there was a dress code.
Yeah, neither have I.
So we don't really know. If you can fill us in on this, you might be able to help Mabali and I figure out the whole damn thing, because we genuinely don't know the first thing about it.
Yeah, let us know about, you know, your dress code at work, for example, and whether you think it might be discriminatory, because, you know, now they seemingly going to follow up on this case and to try and investigate further whether work codes do discriminate based on gender.
Yeah, help us out, because we really don't know. We're out of our depth on this one.
But I do also know that some women genuinely do love looking sexy at work. So they love their heels.
Yes.
They don't, you know, they won't have a problem wearing them. They love their tight pencil skirts.
Yeah.
Which show off the curves of the hips.
Beautiful.
And the tiny peak of the butt.
Very sexy.
I know that there probably aren't a lot of places in South Africa that, I mean, tight revealing clothing, for example. That would be a complete distraction in the office.
Mm.
I mean, if a woman walked in with, you know, half her cleavage hanging out, she would probably be called in and be told to listen.
What did you say? Because I stopped listening when you said tight revealing clothing, and I was just imagining it.
Okay. All right. That's fine. So let's move on to dark humor, shall we?
Yes.
Some believe that so-called dark humor involving jokes about death and tragedy and all that kind of stuff springs from a sick mind. You're sick.
Yeah.
However, a new research from Europe suggests the opposite. This study claims that those who find such things funny are likely to be more intelligent.
All right. I've always thought that there was something wrong with us if we found this stuff funny. Deep down inside, I was embarrassed about the fact that, for example, I would laugh at situations where bad things would happen to people. And I don't mean people I know, and I don't mean really bad things that led to death. But, you know, I often joke about being driven over by a bus.
Yeah.
You know this. And then some people will go, oh. And sometimes I'll joke about AIDS or cancer or something like that, because they're such serious things, and we've got to take some of the power away from them. But well, not a lot of people appreciate this stuff, Mubs.
I think a lot of people are also a bit nervous about laughing at certain things because they're afraid of being judged.
Mm.
So scientists from Austria studied people's reactions to distasteful jokes from a cartoon book full of dark humor. Researchers from the Medical University of Vienna asked a group of people to rate the jokes, whether they understood what the jokes meant, and whether they thought they were funny or vulgar. Each participant was also tested for different characteristics, including intelligence, emotional stability, and aggressiveness. Those who understood and appreciated the jokes were cleverer and less aggressive than those who didn't.
You've got a dark sense of humor. You laugh at stuff sometimes that people think that you're very cruel.
I remember
the penis stuff. Whenever guys get hurt, penis episodes, like they get their penis caught in something or they rip up in their testicles or whatever.
Yes,
you love that stuff. You always giggle like a schoolgirl. And then we all think, oh, that's so mean. But then that could mean you're more intelligent than us.
We were at a funeral.
Yeah.
And, like when they start closing up the grave after when the service is done, the priest has prayed and done his whole thing and people are getting ready to leave, then some of the guys will take turns with the spade to start filling up the grave.
Yes.
And it was a family funeral. And one of my cousins, the guys, he was, you know, taking his turn in filling up the grave with the spade. And then he lost his footing and almost fell into
See, that is funny, right?
He almost fell into the grave and he was saved by the man who was standing next to him, who grabbed him by the scruff of his neck. But I mean, all of us, when we got home, we just ripped him a new one because we couldn't stop laughing at how funny that was.
I love it. You see, now a lot of people would think, oh, but you're at a funeral. It's very serious. How can you laugh at that? That's not funny. It's funny. Get over yourself. How dare you? Stop telling everybody else what you think should and shouldn't be funny. And there we go. Smarter people find the dark humor funny. Take that.
Yes, according to the study.
Right.
Okay.
Spot on. All righty. Ben, you said you posted that list of the richest tennis players in terms of prize winners.
Yeah, I did.
It's on Twitter. You can go check that out. Make sure you follow Ben. He's usually kind of funny. He gets into the golf stuff occasionally, which is also quite interesting.
Yeah.
But mostly very, very funny.
I'm balanced, Gareth.
That's true.
I am the yin and yang of sport.
Yes, you are. All right. So as I said, we're going to get to a little bit about the Met, which is happening this weekend in Cape Town. We're going to speak to Weza Madumane, who's become the biggest voiceover celebrity in South Africa. Did you know there was such a thing? Now you know.
Well, he's very talented, hey?
Of course he is. And by the way, he always dresses to the nines.
Mm.
His philosophy is don't dress for the job that you have, dress for the job that you want. Huh? It's a good way to go about your life. And then we'll also speak to Nick Redd about his YouTube channel. He went around and asked people all over Cape Town whether they were going to make an effort to save water because Cape Town is in dire straits. Mabs told us in the news earlier, there isn't enough water in Cape Town. So this dude is he's busy trying to help people figure out that they would save water. And you see how stupid their responses are. Stupid. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So we'll get to all of that and more in the next while. This is CliffCentral.com and you are with us on a Friday morning. We're going to have some fun. We're going to hang around together. We're going to laugh a little bit. We're going to find out about Tuweza. And then Barry Hilton joins us after 8. Busy day. Here's Mabale's favorite song in the world. Cocaine. Eric Clapton.
CliffCentral.com.
Cocaine. Yeah. You do love it, Mabs.
I love the song, Gareth.
All right, we were talking earlier about the Met, which a lot of people think has become a bit tired, and then suddenly it's found itself rejuvenated, and people are talking about it again. On the line, I've got Sibu Shangase, who's the head of marketing at Pernod Ricard for the Prestige Brands portfolio. So he's on the line with me right now. So Sibu, how are you, man, first of all?
I'm very well, Gareth. One day before race day, trying to keep myself together.
I know.
It's raining here in Cape Town, and we as in Africa always take it that the rain is before a big day or on the big day or a sign of blessing. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
So it's raining in Cape Town because you guys need the water, my God.
That too, yes, definitely.
All right, so first things first, how are the preparations going and what's going to be different about the Met this year? Because, you know, a lot of people, very cynical people, they get jaded because they go to these parties all the time. There's a lot of spoiled rich people and celebrity assholes who need to be catered to the whole time because they think they're special. And they come to the Met to show off their amazing outfits, and they don't even know what the Met is most of the time. But I know you guys aren't going to – you're not going to let this devolve into something that doesn't have class.
Definitely not. Definitely not.
What's the plan?
So listen, the Met tradition has been sponsored by another partner for the last 39, 40 years. And I think it's always been seen as one of the elite social events in the Cape Town and Western Cape calendar.
Sure.
I think our partnership with Sun International this year, after the previous holders decided to leave the race, came about with Sun International having acquired the rights, and we said, listen, we need a partner who's very familiar with the horse racing scene globally. Mm-hmm. GH Mom has been associated with the Kentucky Derby in the US and the Melbourne Cup.
Now that's your premier kind of champagne, right? That's the smartest of them all.
The smartest of them all. I'm glad you said it, not me. You led to it, not me. Yes, it is the smartest of them all. So we partnered up this year with Sun International to present the Sun Met, and have taken over the what used to be many, many years ago called the Metropolitan Mile. And this year is the first iteration of the Sunmet celebrated with Mom Champagne. I think in terms of preparations, we're well underway. I mean, I was actually at Kenilworth yesterday looking at the race course and meeting up some of the horse owners and some of the races involved.
What are you guys, you've got your own special tent there, you've got your own VIP area?
Listen, there are a couple of VIP areas, a couple of amazing public viewing and picnic areas, and there's also an amazing general access area. But from a GH Mum perspective, we do have a GH Mum marquee that is smack at the race line, at the finishing line. We managed to get ourselves in prime position to get the photo finish.
Now, I know that you guys aren't, you're not doing this for your health. This is going to be very good in terms of positioning and brand and all the rest of it. But who do you need to pitch up from a point of view of celebrity and star quality in order to make it a real winner? Because, you know, some of these celebrities you don't want and some of them you definitely do. So level with me. Who do you think should be allowed into your marquee?
Well, I mean, listen, I know the likes of our good friend Timo Touch is already in Cape Town already. He was partying up a storm yesterday.
Okay.
I mean, listen, we've got the who's who of South African celebrity or celebrity world. I know from a mom perspective, we're partying up with Jeannie D, Minnie Dlamini. Dalez was actually out partying with Timo Touch in Cape Town yesterday. we have a handful of South African celebs in our marquee and a whole lot of others in some of the surrounding marquees as well.
What happens if one of these celebrities, let's say it's a B or a C grade celebrity, they come to the entrance to the tent? Now come on, be level with me here. You don't have to bullshit me. We're talking now, we're friends. So someone comes up to the entrance to your marquee and they go, "Hi, Sibu." But you know their TV show was cancelled 5 years ago. They wouldn't be able to get on a magazine cover if it was Tech Weekly. They're wearing a horrible dress. They've got very fat and unattractive in the time that's elapsed in between. And they don't even drink champagne with some class and dignity and sophistication. They just swallow it down in giant gulps. These are not the kind of people you want in there, right?
Listen, one of the strap lines for GH Mum is dare, win, celebrate. So if anyone that you just talked about now dares to come to the entrance and by some chance manages to win themselves an entrance into the marquee, I'll be more than happy to celebrate with them after all that effort. So who am I to turn down anyone's ability to be convivial?
Who's going to be dressing to the nines here? You must be worried about what you're wearing. You're an important man here. What are you going to have on?
Listen, I mean, more than anything, I'm just the guy that's has a champagne. But I'm hearing, I'm seeing a lot of people posting some images about who they're being dressed by. I know Dalez is being dressed by House of Olay. Jeannie D is working with Warren Gauthier, if I'm correct. I think there was a rumor of some other celebrities working with Malcolm Cluck. And I mean, there's a whole lot of leading South African designers that are involved, not just with the Mom Marquee, but with some of the other marquees as well. So I think it's going to be an amazing day of fashion, misses and hits, I'm sure.
Yeah, then there's the race, which everybody watches. They watch that one race. But what other highlights are there on the day? Help us out here, especially for people who've never been.
For the first iteration of the Sunmet with Mum, we've literally tried to throw as much at it in terms of setting up a long-term position for ourselves as possible. So there's a couple of iconic moments that I cannot give away just yet, just to kind of tintillate the taste buds of all those that will be in attendance. But I mean, there's the Sunmet GH Mum race is the main race. As you know, that this will be the richest day of racing in Africa, with a total pot of about 22 million across the whole race day. And if I forget my numbers correct, the main race is worth about, I think it's about 5 million odd rand on its own. I stand to be corrected, but that's we definitely have one of the richest single races on the continent. So I mean, it's a day of amazing music, amazing food, amazing drinks, Cape Town sun after the lovely blessings of rain we're getting today. I mean, get there from 11 up until midnight, awesome after party with some amazing DJs, amazing performers, the likes of Euphonic, Mikasa, Sketchy Bongo. In the Mum Marquee, there's a whole lot of amazing and I think surprising acts that you'll see in there as well, along with some of the other marquees that will be present throughout the day.
Dude, thanks very much for talking to us this morning. All the best for a great Met.
Thank you so much, guys.
All right, my man. Cheers. There we go. There's Sibo Shangaz, who's the head of marketing for Pernod Ricard, just in case he didn't mention Mum enough times there, Mubs. That's what you drink.
Oh, I can't afford that lifestyle.
Lies. What lies?
Cannot afford that lifestyle.
Come on, what lies?
Please.
Of course you can.
Look, I'm totally going to confess. I've been drinking Mum because I wanted to win this competition.
And you didn't.
And then I heard him talk about this whole thing like now, and I go.
Yeah, you heard it, Ben, and you suddenly realized, like, oh no.
I'm missing out.
You don't have the ostrich feathers and the suit made of snake skin, so you can't go. Did you hear all the people who are going to be dressed by fancy people that you and I don't know about?
I did, Gareth. I did indeed.
All right. You know what? Lucas, bring Weza Matumane in here. Let me see this guy. Let me look at him. Let me check him out while he's still humble and wallows among those of us who are not world famous and extremely important. Come and sit down here. Look at this guy. Make yourself comfortable. It's your studio anyway, most Thursdays, so come on. Good morning, Mr. Weza Matumane.
Good morning.
Oh, wait, let me turn on your microphone.
Good morning.
Listen to that voice. Dude, I've been following you on Instagram and on Twitter for a long time now, and suddenly in the last week or two, you have just, okay, maybe it's more, maybe a month. But you have exploded. Suddenly you are very visible.
Huh? Yeah, it was actually a bit of a surprise to me too. I don't know why South Africa was sleeping.
Yeah, exactly. You've been around. It's not like you haven't been showing the people that what you've got.
Yeah, yeah. And all of a sudden everyone just jumped on, and now it's huge. But I'm happy that it came at the right time, I think. And, you know, sometimes, the right things happen when you are already prepared and you already know how to maximize or make something out of whatever it is. Yeah.
Well, let me start off by just reminding everybody that you and Simpiwe and Lesego and Vaughn do a show together on a Thursday. Unplugged and In Charge. You guys have held events all over the country. You've been working quietly behind the scenes for years now.
Yeah, yeah.
Getting your brand out there and making sure people know who you guys are, and more importantly, that they can help themselves build their own brands.
That's very true, yeah. In fact, even the reason I even post the videos, let's say when I'm doing voiceovers and so on.
You're not looking for attention because you're an unhappy person who needs validation. I know that for a fact.
Yeah. I always put the hashtag live your dream after every voiceover that I put on. And that's really to give, you know, young people, especially people who never knew that such an industry existed, just to give them another option to say, wow, there's someone who does voiceovers, and there's actually this industry called voiceover artistry, and I could literally go from where I am right now to getting into that. And especially because let's say coming from a small town, I always had this feeling that, you know, certain opportunities would never come to people like us, or, you know, there's always that thing where you think Van der Bijl Park never really gets much. When I was young, I would watch Yo TV and they'd say Yo TV is looking for its next presenter. We coming to East Rand Mall, Joburg, Durban,
and did you go to
and
those?
Cape Town. No, I never did. I wish they could come to Cape to Van der Bijl Park, but
nobody goes to Van der Bijl Park because
exactly.
It's a horrible place, right?
Now there's a very particular trend that I have noticed on Twitter when Weza posts these videos, right?
Yes.
A lot of the women's a lot of the women's are moved by your voice, Weza. The girls saying things like, "Oh, this guy can read me a bedtime story to sleep."
Yeah.
you've, giving you their cell numbers on Twitter.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Please DM me.
Yeah, no, I've had some really scary things on social media. Some of them in the DMs. You know, people end up sliding in your DMs like Michael Jackson doing the moonwalk. So
are you a single man at the moment?
I am a taken man at the moment.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Very bad news. A lot of people have just tuned out and are not interested in you anymore. Unsubscribe from your channels immediately.
Ah, tragic. Well, it is what it is, but, I was still just talking about, you know, the whole live your dream type of thing that I try to push with. That's
pretty much. Don't try and get us off the topic of you and women. I'm trying. We're not stupid. We've been doing this a long time.
I see these women on Twitter. They're very forward.
Yeah. Wow. No. South African women have proven that they can be very forward. And but I think,
how long have you been with this girlfriend of yours?
It's been a couple of months.
It's going nicely.
Yeah. Yeah.
No pressure.
No pressure.
All right. Good.
No. No. I think you have to always manage expectation. It's always a good thing.
But you're a busy man. So how much time do you actually get to spend with each other?
I think you have to make time. I think there's no such thing really as free time. You have to buy out the time and say that's the time I want to to dedicate to this or to that.
So a lot of people say voiceover work, which you're doing a lot of at the moment. What are your major? Where can we hear your voice? Because a lot of people will recognize the sound of your voice now, but they won't be able to place it. So help us put it in the right places.
Okay, one of them is only on Mzansi Magic.
There we go.
That dude, yeah. Then there's I do the Castle Malt Stout ad, like all their ads. But for that one, normally I have to like warm up because it's that introducing,
How do you warm up? Do you warm up like singers warm up?
It's very similar to what singers do. Yes, yes. In fact, after warming up, the voice sounds almost totally different, and I can achieve crazy things like you wouldn't recognize it's me. In fact, that's why the uproar, because people were like, I thought it's a white guy. It's a lie. My life is a lie. You know? So after warming up, I can either sound young or I could sound very old and white. Clearly.
but do you get people who don't like your voice, who do give you shit about it? Because when you're out there, you know, you sometimes pick up some heat as well as love and praise.
I think not really. No, I've never had someone say, ah, your voice is horrible.
Yeah.
I think when you start off, you start off having very little confidence in your own voice, and you're thinking, man, I've heard my voice my whole life. I don't think this is nice. I don't know what they're talking about.
But you do have, it's very smooth, and I can see why people don't understand though. Voiceover work, it's not going to make you a billionaire. Right? I mean, it's good money. You can make a living out of it.
Yes.
But it's not, you have to work really hard and you have to do 10 of them a week in order to make serious money.
Yeah. Because, one of the things, I mean, people look at it and it looks very easy. I'd say it is simple, but it's not easy because there's a lot of technique that goes behind it. There's quite a lot because, I mean, imagine, if someone says, well, I like your delivery, lower your volume, lower your speed, increase your energy and keep the tone. How do you do that? You know, those are some of the technical stuff now that gets a bit tricky. Yeah.
Clint from the Val says, as a Vali and fellow Funderbale Parker, I'm proud of Weza and all the other incredible talent from the Val. Is there other talent? I mean, let's be honest now.
There is talent in the Val.
From Funderbale Park?
Yes. Bakkies Botha came from Funderbale.
Really?
Yes.
Bakkies Botha.
It's not the only one.
So far we got Weza Matumane, we've got Bakkies Botha, and then Lucas Matebula says he's from there as well.
There are a lot of people from the Val.
You're from Limpopo. Don't talk nonsense.
There's really a lot of people from the Val, guys. Okay. I think you're just putting me on the spot now to think about them. But I think I'll compile a Forbes list of people from the Val.
Now, what about the stuff you guys are doing on your show and with the events that you guys hold and all these things? A lot of people come to these things, but many people may not know about them.
Yeah.
Fill us in.
All right, so our shows, Unplugged and In Charge, that we have right here on Cliff Central, this is a show to inspire young people to say, you know what, be in charge of making the future that you want to see for yourself. I think we live in a country where a lot of people play the, people are always blaming something else for why they're not where they want to be in life. But nowadays, there are so many resources around us, but we just need the right mindset now to say, let's start tapping into these resources and let's start moving forward.
I mean, Wes, no one's given you a handout. Nobody came to you and said, I'm going to help you and you're going to get this voiceover job and then you're going to get another one. And you've had to do all of that yourself. And
that's very true.
You guys don't believe in victim mentalities.
Mm.
You don't believe in feeling sorry for yourself. You believe in getting out there and making a difference.
Very true.
And by helping other people is primary, right?
Mm, mm. Yeah, that's exactly it. So we're trying to help people get to that type of mindset as well. Because if you can get them to have the mindset, you don't even need to give them a fish or a fishing rod. You've now just giving them the right mindset to say, I'm going to go out into the woods. I'm going to get a stick and I'm going to go and try and find a string and I'm going to make my own fishing
right
rod.
Right from the start.
Yeah.
If I can figure, and you say that there are resources because a lot of people do use excuses, but maybe, you know, maybe sometimes they have a point. You don't believe that people should use those excuses as a means to stop themselves from achieving the things they want.
Yeah, yeah. There's really, I mean, we can even look at an example of saying, let's say government gave kids free Wi-Fi and a tablet, and they're trying to say, come on, let's do something with this education system. And then the kids are saying, yeah, but this is just a tablet. What is that going to do for me? But it's now up to the child to try and say, wow, now I've got some means of the internet and I could teach myself about apps like Zuckerberg taught himself about apps. And maybe you can now start doing something about it because the internet is, you know, unlimited when it comes to knowledge. But now just up to you to say, that's what I want to do. So sometimes it's really just, so what we try to do with our seminars, we had something like the Young Leader Seminar last year. These type of things are not necessarily just motivation, but it is more just changing mindsets of people to say, hey, look, other young people did it. Here's how they did it. Why aren't you doing the same? And so that's pretty much what we try to do. We try to have, even on the show, a thought-provoking show that is also trying to move you in towards some sort of direction and to try and, you know, just inspire your thinking so that you can be critical in your thinking.
What did you study?
Do a little different. I studied chemical engineering.
See? It's no fool here, Mubs. He's a serious chemical engineer. Where did you study?
I studied at the University of Pretoria.
It's the engineering school, really.
Yeah,
in South Africa.
Africa. Yeah.
The next week on Thursday, I've got an interview with Cheryl Delaray, who's the rector and vice chancellor of the University of Pretoria. We're playing that out at 8 o'clock in the morning. She's very proud of the engineering faculty.
Yeah, no, she's a lady that's, you know, been in the limelight quite a bit now with the whole Fees Must Fall movement. I wonder how your conversation is going to go.
But it was interesting. She was one of the vice chancellors and rectors who got it right.
Mm.
That campus was very quickly returned to order, and it seems everybody could finish their classes and that they got to write their exams on time and all that stuff. But engineers, you guys tend to be the very serious people. I mean, I remember the engineers when I was studying, and the engineers were always, they kept to themselves, they kind of had their own thing going on. They were very studious, quite serious, not much of, playing around and sense of humor stuff that you would get in the humanities. Mm. Is that true? Are you serious people?
I think there is a large population that is. I think though that the information age and just the millennials are just a totally different breed of any field that you put them in. So you're not going to find your average accountant. You're not going to find your average lawyer. You're not going to find your average engineer. Things are going to be different. The personalities are different.
So what kind of stuff can you do as a chemical engineer? Because you're not practicing as one now. You don't work for an engineering firm.
Yes. But the engineering knowledge I still use. I'm making my own whiskey at the moment.
What?
At my place. Yeah.
Nice. What, in a backyard or are you doing this properly?
I'm doing it properly. Well, in a way. I'm trying to one day.
What's it going to be? Have you got a name?
No, I am of the view that you should first design the engine before you come up with the color of the car.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, that's what engineers are. They mess around with the marketing. They get to the. Because, you know, there are people in this world who will say, that a lot of millennials are no substance, and they're all about, you know, brand, and it's this thin veneer of kind of character. But in your case, there's absolutely no way they can accuse you of that, because you've got all this smart engineering knowledge behind you. What kind of stuff did you learn at Varsity to do? What would you be doing if you had become an engineer?
All right. So I actually originally went into I got a bursary from Sasol. So the chances are I would have been working at Sasol, making petrol.
Turning, what do they do? They turn coal into oil.
Yes. So they also have this new gas to liquid technology as well. So they turn gases also into oil and things like that. So that's probably what I would have been doing. But, you know, I would sit there in
petrochemicals. So you might have ended up in petrochemicals.
Yeah, but I would sit there, in the offices there at Sasol during vacation work, and I would feel like my life is going, like my life is passing me by while I'm just sitting here looking out the window and say, there's life and I'm here.
Did you sit in labs sometimes?
Yeah.
Can you remind Mabali what the difference is between methyl ethyl butyl and propyl alcohols?
All right. So, do you remember?
Aren't the differences in the carbon bonds or something?
The number of carbon atoms. Yeah. Yes.
No, we're not. There's no stupidity here.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, but for me, it's been years, Gareth. Uh-huh. It's been years. Uh-huh. It's been many years.
Oh, sorry. There is stupidity in the room. Ben doesn't know what the fuck we're talking about.
Ben is like, what? What happened?
Weza, let's have some fun here. You're going to put your voice to the test here. We're going to expect you to do voiceover quality renditions of the following lines. These are from well-known rap songs.
Oh, wow. Okay.
No pressure on you. We're going to see if you can do this properly. I'm going to give you the rap songs, and you're going to have to help me make them sound like proper professional voiceovers. Are you
on
ready?
The spot.
All right, here is Weza Matumane, the voiceover artist in South Africa, and he's going to deliver the following rap lines, but in voiceover top billing style.
All right.
Imagine you're introducing someone's house on top billing with this line. Go.
Go shorty, it's your birthday. We going to party like it's your birthday. I got this killer up inside me, and I can't talk to my mother, so I'll talk to my diary.
All right, no, keep going. Don't stop. Come on, we got more. You can take a break between the two.
Okay. Yeah. Very nice. Very nice.
Let's go.
Okay, cool. King with the crown, humble and tall. Terrence never... Keep quiet. Tyrants never.
Okay, let's try that one from the top again.
From the top. Where's that?
Let me read them.
people don't know how these voiceovers work. I stopped doing them about 10 years ago because they irritated the hell out of me. So there's an ad agency idiot sitting on a sofa.
I used to do this because I was the guy writing this stuff.
Okay, so.
Hi, it's Sam. I'm from the agency. Hi, Weza.
Hi, how are you?
Listen, can you do that line again for me, but you put more emphasis on the word tyrant, please?
All right, tyrant.
Thanks, because that's where, you know, our client's very big on tyrants. They're Nazis. That's what they like. All right, so those are our clients.
All right. Should I take it from the top again?
Thanks so much, Weza.
All right.
You look great, by the way.
Thank you very much.
Can I have your phone number afterwards?
Sam, calm down.
Just do it again. No problem.
Can I get music on my cans?
all right, hold on. There's music coming up now. All right.
Go shorty. It's your birthday. We're going to party like it's your birthday.
Sorry, Weza. It's birthday. I know you blacks sometimes say birthday. Birthday. Please, can we try that again?
All right. Go shorty, it's your birthday. We're going to party like it's your birthday. I got this killer up inside of me. I can't talk to my mother, so I talk to my diary. King with the crown, humble and tall. Tyrants never keep quiet. They'd rather be violent, so I'm beheading them all.
Okay. Weza, that's beautiful, but we thought you were a white guy.
Oh, okay, wait, white, black style.
No, Ball no. Okay, now, yeah, do
shorty.
The last one. No, do
it's
the last
your
one.
Birthday.
But do the last one in, like, black style. Because you could do accents as well, right? You could do a whole bunch of things with your voice. All right, let's go.
If you having girl problems, I feel bad for you, son. I've got 99 problems. But
problems.
Be H1.
you guys don't use foul language, right? You don't use foul language on your show.
Never.
You're very decent human beings. You and Sipiwe and Vaughn. And very beautifully done. I mean, that's
thank
fantastic.
You. Thank you very much.
All right, everybody from Thunderbale Park, just look at what you've done. You've given us a gem. Wes, it's nice to see you, dude.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for having me.
All the best to you, and I hope we get to see you again very, very soon. And keep on succeeding the way that you are. You're an example to all of us.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate your kind words.
Pleasure, man. Have a great day. And plans for the weekend? Anything fun going on?
Well, I am emceeing a launch of a mall this morning. Westgate.
Come on down.
Yeah, yeah.
Come and visit Weza at Westgate today.
Yeah, after that, I'm heading to Sun City. I've got a two-day type of gig there as well. I'm emceeing there as well. So it looks like it's going to be a nice weekend. Yeah.
Dude, well done.
Yeah.
Isn't this amazing? All right. Weza Mantumane, thank you very much.
This is Weza That Guy.
There we
out.
Go. Weza That Guy. Yeah. Very nice. Coming up, Barry Hilton, everybody. Very exciting. Lots of stuff to get into. CliffCentral.com.